The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
That's good.
Hey, Bills fans. Welcome to a special edition episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. This is our Halloween edition where we are going to discuss things about the Buffalo Bills that have either happened this season or could happen in the future to the Buffalo Bills that really scare us and really terrify us. And then we're going to talk about some scary movies and some fun stuff like that. First, I want to welcome my co-hosts, John and Mike. Fellas, let's talk about things or items having to do with the Bills, things that have happened this season already or could happen in the future that could terrify us as Bills fans if they were to happen or if they have happened. And John, I want you to go first. You had some really cool stats about the last time the Bills were 5-2, which they are currently. They're 5-2. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this is the 20th time the Bills have been 5-2 in their history. But what scares me is the last five times they've been 5-2, no playoff wins, and two of the times they didn't even have a winning record by the end of the season, didn't make the playoffs. So that dates back to 1996, where they lost to the Jaguars. In 95, they were 5-2. They did win a playoff game against the Dolphins. So
the last time they won a playoff game.
Right. And that's also the last time they won the division. So you have to go that far back.
So if the Bills win the division and win a playoff game, they'll be both setting, ending 25-year droughts in both respects. Wow. So, yep. So John, does it scare you to think that this might be one of those seasons like Trent? When was the most recent time that we went 5-2 and we didn't make the playoffs?
2011 and then 2008 also.
Oh, I remember those vividly.
Yeah, 2008, I think that was the Edwards one, I think, right?
Yes.
Where he got injured. I think maybe even in that game where they lost to the Cardinals. I don't think it was ever the same after that.
Yeah, that recency bias is certainly scary. It's a different team, but... Yeah,
I mean, even last year they went 5-2, right? And they made the playoffs and they lost. But maybe this year they get that, you know, they win the division, they get the home playoff game, and there won't be fans, so maybe it won't matter.
You know what's scary? Speaking of things that scare you about the Bills, things that scare me about the Bills that you just from what you were talking about is the Bills making the playoffs and having a first round exit again. Like, that scares me as a Bills fan. I mean, Sean McDermott's, you know, he's made the playoff two of the last 3 years. If he makes a playoff this year as our head coach, that'll be three of the last 4 years, and that'll be three first round exits. He lost to the Jaguars 3 years ago, just the Houston Texans this last year. In two games that arguably, if the Bills had played just slightly better, they could have made it to the next round. And they They fell short, and yeah, that scares me to think that what we just signed Sean McDermott to another 5-year deal, and I'm just, you know, him ending up like a Marvin Lewis where he makes the playoffs 8 or 10 times or whatever and never makes it past the first round. That's scary. Yeah, I don't want to.
I'll tell you what. I'll put a couple of positive spins on it for you. If McDermott makes it past, definitely if he makes it through the whole season, but if he makes it past like the 11th to 12th game or something like that, he'll be the longest tenured Bills coach since Marv Levy. And if you look at the entirety of the Bills' history, that they've gone 5-2 or better in the previous 19 times, they did make the playoffs 14 of 19 times, won the division 9 times, won a playoff game 8 of those times, and made it to the final championship title game 6 times, winning 2 titles.
Nice. Way to end it on a positive note. Mike, what about the Bills scares you or could scare you in the future?
Look, if I'm taking this to heart, I think it takes the same energy to have a big dream as it does to have a small dream, right? And you guys aren't thinking big enough. Talking about playoff, like, what could seriously derail the organization is Allen having, we know, his propensity to run. And I mean, we love it, big play potential, but it also opens up the door to have a catastrophic injury. We view him as hopefully a franchise quarterback, right? It's, you sign a longer-term deal, and then having a catastrophic injury is something that would affect the organization for years down the road, because so much of the future is tied up in one player, I think. And then secondly, every podcast episode, it seems like we touch on it, at least in the periphery, is COVID. And you've talked about in the past with, right, how you felt that Tennessee kind of got maybe a slap on the wrist or certainly dealt with leniency when they were maybe not following the protocols like they should have. And that's something you could see as a pessimistic Bills fan. You could see where finally having success, putting some distance between us and the other teams in the AFC East, hopefully that continues, and then it could all unravel the whole season if the Bills were stricken to any degree on the team with. I don't know how the NFL would react to something like that, one specific team, but we've only seen a microcosm of how they'll deal with it in the sense of like changing out the bye weeks 1 week here, right? But it would not be hard to envision a scenario where that derails the Bills season.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, the Bills were lucky it was just Dawson Knox in the tight end room. I mean, arguably one of the weakest positional rooms in on the team. Imagine if that was a quarterback room, like you said.
And really dodged the bullet with Tyler Croft, right? That's incredibly fortuitous.
Yeah, the best tight end so far in the room was the only one that wasn't on the injured COVID list. Yeah, jeez. Man, you guys are really scaring me. It was just like a fun thought. Like, well, let's talk about things that haunt us and scares. Like, those are a catastrophic. You weren't talking about just an injury to Josh Allen for the season. You're talking catastrophic, like Alex Smith, like where he might not come back. Like, he's done. And we don't have anybody waiting in the wings necessarily that can step up right away. Because you know Matt Barkley's not coming through that door and leading us to a 10-6, 11-5 season. You're talking like serious, like he's out for at least a couple of years, may not come back, or both.
Yeah, anything like that, right? Like Joe Theismann breaking his leg. Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. Well, geez, mine aren't that scary. No, mine's...
Go ahead.
So this is one that I've been thinking about recently. You know, this one scares me from an overall perspective. And again, we're not saying that, at least I'm not saying that this is the truth or this is happening, but this scares me that this might happen or it might be what goes on with the Buffalo Bills from here on out. Is Brandon Bean has been the GM for the Buffalo Bills for 3 drafts. And I'm going to list for you the top 3 rounds and the players that he's picked with the Buffalo Bills. Now, we all know that the season before that, he wasn't the GM during that draft. That was Doug Whaley and Sean McDermott running that draft. They got some really good pieces out of it. They got Tre'Davious White. They got Matt Milano, Deion Dawkins. Like, that was a pretty decent draft if you look at it. Those three players are still on the roster, and 2 of them have been extended. 2017, first-round pick, Josh Allen. Josh Allen, who's trending in the right direction, for sure. Not 100% sure on it, but not a bad pick. We can all say that that's not a bad pick at this point. Other first-round pick from 2017, Tremaine Edmonds.
I would give him way more credit with Josh Allen. That was a very contrarian pick.
Oh, give him more credit for picking him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, right, like, it takes a lot more to go against the grain. Like, if you whiff on somebody on a consensus pick, you're not faulted at all.
But when you pick a guy that everyone's considering a potential bust.
Yeah, that's your job, right? It's like so many analogies in everyday life, right? Like your work, or they talk like, say, a mutual fund manager picking stocks, right? You pick what's the biggest blue chip there. I don't even know. Back in the day, IBM, today Microsoft. You say, oh, we should buy Microsoft, and it goes down. They say, oh, shitty Microsoft. They don't say shitty Nate. But if you're like, oh, let's buy this really tiny little company that I'm the only one that researched it.
Yeah.
And let's put our funds in that.
Let's put
and
all
that one tanks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, see you later, Nate.
Let's buy this penny stock
right?
With our $1 billion of capital. It's like, wait, aren't you sure you don't want to buy GM? No, or General Electric or whatever? Like, no, let's do it
yeah,
all.
Those are both perfect examples. GM or General Electric goes down. It's like, oh, it's those companies. But you do something a little off the beaten path, it's you. And I think we can't give enough credit to Brandon Bean and his team, because nobody had Allen where they had him, right?
No. No.
You're seeing how it's working out for everybody else in that class, with the exception of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
But if Sam Darnold was, I mean, if the Bills had a higher pick, right, like maybe we're on the opposite sides of that, of the quarterback matchup we saw today.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you know, credit to Bean for providing talent around Josh Allen to help him succeed. But yeah, that was a big swing. That was a big swing by Brandon Bean. Okay, that was the first one. Let me get through this list, okay? That was for sure, contrarian pick.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Tremaine Edmonds was the second first-round pick of 2017, which we're really unsure of at this point. Don't really know if he has what it takes. It's not even like he's an average middle linebacker at this point. I'd argue that he's slightly below average at this point, and this is his third year. So we're not sure. Again, unsure, not trending in the right direction, I'll say. Harrison Phillips, talking about Harrison Phillips, he was their third round pick. They didn't have a second round pick. He was their third round pick. He's been a healthy scratch the last two games. That's not trending in a positive direction. Let's go to 2018. First round pick, Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver was supposed to be what Quinnen Williams was this last week, or at least close to what Quinnen Williams was for the Jets. And Ed Oliver has not been taking that second year step so far this season. We were kind of hoping for a little bit more, and I think he's regressed a little bit this season. You talk about Cody Ford, their second round pick. Cody Ford was drafted to be the right tackle for the Buffalo Bills. He failed miserably at it last season, and now he's changed to guard. And from all accounts, he seems to be like a very okay guard. Maybe slightly above average, but okay guard. Well, that's not what they drafted him for. It was a high pick for a guard. And, yeah, so I would say he's not trending in the right direction. He's been injured, sure, this past week, but you can't look at that and be like, okay, that's definitely a good pick. Devin Singletary, third-round pick from 2018. He's shown some flashes, not consistently good enough that you can say that this guy is going to be the starter after this season, or even after Zach Moss has had some more reps in the second half of the season. Then you look at Dawson Knox, the other third-round pick from 2018. I mean, geez. I mean, talk about regression, or at least continuing to not produce. I mean, Dawson Knox has had a rough second season so far, besides, you know, catching COVID and testing positive. He continues to drop balls and continues to be a liability offensively. It's not that he's terrible. It's just that he's just not consistent enough. And he led the league in drops last season, and he's not doing so well this season. 2019, you look at this last draft, you have A.J. Epenesa, who in the second round, he was their first pick. He hasn't really seen the field a lot. He kind of looks lost out there at times. I mean, if he was good enough as a second-round pick, the Bills would have easily cut Trent Murphy, but he wasn't. And so because of that, they had to keep a $9 million cap hit. So A.J. Epenesa, not coming along as quickly as we would have hoped for, at least a second rounder. I mean, back when the Bills were drafting in the 2000s, in the early 2000s, a second round pick would have been starting for the Bills. They don't have that type of luxury with Adrian Epinesa because he's not good enough at this point. And then their third round pick this last year was Zach Moss, who besides this last game has really been struggling. He was only at 2.6 yards per carry before the Jets game, and he's been injured, hasn't shown a lot. So I guess the thing that haunts me or scares me is that maybe Brandon Bean isn't that great at drafting. Do I believe that? No. Am I worried that he's not? Yes, because he doesn't completely have a track record. With the players that I mentioned, there are 9 players. I would argue 1, maybe 2 of them you could see as being good picks. Good picks that will probably get a second contract. Other than that, we don't really know.
What about the rest of the rounds for each of those years? How's that track record?
Oh, well, I wasn't going off. I mean, these are the draft picks you have to hit, John. The first three, like Dane Jackson's looking great so far. If he was a top three.
The draft is a crapshoot, man. You just hope to hit somebody from any of the rounds, right?
Yeah, but that's where you win championships. Like
even the number one overall is 50-50, right?
Oh, of course. But my point is we always usually laud Brandon Bean for doing such a good job drafting. And it always seems like he's doing a good job drafting. But I'm just saying, maybe there's a small possibility that he's not. And it scares the living daylights out of me to think that. Because bad drafts set your franchise back tremendously. Because if you have good talent, good rookie talent on your roster that can start right away, that is an amazing value. Mike was just talking about stocks and paying for penny stocks and stuff like that. That's like, that getting a rookie that can become an impactful starter on a rookie salary, or at least like a first, second, third year player on a rookie salary. I mean, that's like buying Apple at $5 a share compared to buying it, whatever it is now, at a few $100 a share. I mean, the value you're getting in that rookie performing and starting. I mean, a lot of these guys aren't starters. Josh Allen is a starter. Tremaine Edmonds is a starter. Ed Oliver is a starter. Cody Ford is becoming a starter. Devin Singletary is, when he's not being replaced by Zach Moss. I don't know. So,
yeah, but like, look at, like, he brought in Stephon Diggs, he brought in John Brown, Cole Beasley, all these other players that have helped the offense tremendously. I mean, you got to factor all that in too.
Well, that's another thing though. Maybe he's a GM that's good at signing free agents or trading for free agents. That's fine. But maybe he's not great at drafting. That's all I'm saying. I feel like I'm ragging on Brandon Bean. I really like Brandon Bean. I think he's done a great job. I'm just, part of me worries about that a little bit. And I think everyone should be a little worried about that until we see these guys really perform, get to that second contract, or at least perform above average.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So, are you guys fans in general, Mike and John, of scary movies?
No.
John, you're supposed to say yes. You're so supposed to continue with this segment.
The whole part of this podcast, John, is... John, well, I watched...
I thought Mike would say yes.
Yes, Nate. I love scary movies. They are my favorite genre of movies.
John, I've seen several scary movies with you, which is even funnier that you say that. Were you just dreading the entire time that we were watching movies together? Like, just did it just to do it? You just...
Yes, I don't prefer to be in such a high anxiety state.
You and I watched a movie. We watched Insidious, which I would argue is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. And you saw that. You must have been feeling such anxiety. And then it was funny because we watched the second one together, with our wives, and we talked the entire time to kind of stop, you know, minimize the horror that you get. Oh, if you just joke around the other time, like, oh, that guy fell. Oh, he'll probably die or something. We did that the whole time. John, you were really doing that because you just didn't want, you're really scared of being scared.
Yes, that's correct. I didn't want, yeah, I was bracing myself, essentially. I don't watch too many horror or scary movies for that exact reason. So I have a short list of movies that scare me because I don't watch that many.
Well, what are they? Give them to us. What kind of scary, wait, what kind of scary movies scare you the most? The ones that are like Friday the 13th, like Killers or Nightmare on Elm Street? Or are they the ones that like could happen, like Serial Killers or something like that? Or like Texas Chainsaw Massacre or like the paranormal ones? Which ones scare you the most?
No, it's pretty much all of them. House of a Thousand Corpses comes to mind. Ooh. As one of them. Obviously Nightmare, you know, the Nightmare on Elm Street, right? Because that's like, you fall asleep and you don't want to fall asleep for obvious reasons, right? Like that's very scary. Oh.
I have a story once. Have you ever seen the movie Descent?
That's on my list, man.
Is it?
When you told me 1 minute before you started recording this, like, oh, I want to talk about scary movies. That's the one I wrote down.
Really? What'd you like about Descent? Do you remember what it was about?
Yeah, I think it has something to do with some type of descent.
Oh, that's so
like
vague.
For me, it's the disparity between my expectation and the final product is what makes me like, after some introspection, I feel like that's what makes it stick out to me. The couple I wrote down weren't necessarily the best, but it's ones I went into with the lowest expectation, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you could certainly keep going first, but The Descent, do I remember what it's about? Yeah. It's a bunch of people going down into a cave.
Yeah. It was aptly named. Yes.
Yeah. I actually, cause I hate when people tell me like, oh, go watch this thing. And like, how, where? I just, before you started talking, I was looking at my list and just Googled them, and it's on Amazon Prime for free if folks want to check it out.
But they have to. It's so good.
Yeah, real good.
So it's about like these thrill seekers, right? Like this group of women that always try to do something different or do something new. Like they go whitewater rafting, they bungee jump or whatever, and then this latest,
I don't remember any of that. Go ahead.
I've watched it a few times. It's good. So the latest one is they're going to go descend into some dark caves or caverns or whatever. And then just kind of like, you know, go there. These aren't public spaces. They're not like national parks. These are like little areas that people have written about on the internet. So they're going to go, check them out. And then while they're doing that, so like, first of all, you have the dark, right, which is scary enough. And then you have, like, confined spaces, which is like, ugh. And then, like, they're going into places. And then one girl, the girl that's actually leading, tells all the other ones, she's like, oh, yeah, by the way, now that we're in a place that we can't get out, I decided to take us somewhere that has never been explored before. And they're all like, what? Like, yeah, this is, I thought that you guys would want to do something cool and different, so I decided to go to a place that didn't have any maps or anything, and we're about to run out of batteries for our headlamps, and it's going to be completely dark. But go on, Mike. Is that kind of how you...
Yeah, that's kind of what I remember.
There was one part where, so of course they go down there, and there's all of these different creatures that you don't know are down there that, like, live in the dark, that, of course... I won't give it away. I won't give it away. But there's one scene in there that's like completely nerve-wracking to me as someone that I don't necessarily have claustrophobia, but like they're going in between these like really close like tunnels where like they can barely breathe out because it's so close and like they can't release their diaphragms and they're like, it's just like, oh my God, I'm getting anxiety just watching it. But there was one scene.
Some of that too, I think comes from, like, if you've looked on the internet, like, people routinely I think that's the scary, for some of the different reasons that, you mentioned, like the claustrophobia and the running out of air. So like on the internet is replete with stories like real life, true, where people are cave diving in scuba gear and they get lost and you run out of air, right? Like there's one where the guy runs out of air and he takes out his knife and tries to stab himself because he doesn't want to, like that's the worst thing, being under, and then, but he doesn't successfully kill himself. So now you're like, you don't have any air and you're lost and you're bleeding from the hole in your chest. Like, oh, that's freaking terrible.
Wow, that's graphic.
Yeah.
But, well, doesn't that
and
also.
And then another one where a guy got stuck in a cave, I think it was in Utah, but like, you know, you're going, like, rescues all around you, but you can't get out. Like, you know, you're going to die for a day. Like, so some of that comes in too when we're talking about the descent, like knowing the real world possibility of getting like something primal. Like as humans, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think
you can at least, it's not outside the realm of possibility that you one day are in a similar situation.
Yeah. I also heard with cave divers too, like because you run out of oxygen, you'll do whatever, right? Like, I mean, the panic and that, like, you know, doing what this guy did, or like I've heard of a phenomenon where people are diving, like deep sea divers in the ocean. Like they panic and they rip off their masks like 100 feet down. Like I saw a video of it the other day and it's like, wow, that's scary. Like they just all of a sudden, like they're constantly, like the guys are constantly like giving thumbs up, like, okay, everything good. And then this lady just like rips off her mask and like the guy, her instructor guide, like throws his mask on her and brings her all the way up to the surface. Right. And I'm like, that scares the hell out of me. As someone who doesn't like deep sea diving and is afraid of drowning. So also with cave divers, I've heard that like a lot of times when they do find the bodies, like they're smiling because like there's like a release of something like right before they die of like, what is it? Serotonin or something like that, where it's just like complete euphoria, like right before. So like they'll see them. this got really dark, but
adrenaline.
So if as advice to our listeners, don't ever.
So why did she rip her mask off? Just for the
she freaked out. She was just freaking out. Either maybe something happened, or I mean, imagine being that deep down and all of a sudden like realizing like I shouldn't be able to breathe right now. Like what's going on? Like I'm completely surrounded by water. Like, you know, like I don't know. I've gone snorkeling is the only thing I've ever done that's even remotely close. And I'll be honest, I've struggled snorkeling because sometimes the tube was too low, or I wasn't breathing right because I just am not good at it. Maybe this was this lady's first time doing it. I don't know, but like it's a phenomenon where divers fear that, and especially.
Have you
now,
ever heard of the call of the void? It's like the psychological phenomenon, like when you're standing on a bridge or a ledge or something, you're like, I wonder what would happen if I just jumped, or if you're driving a car and you're like, I could just swerve right in front of the semi, or I could. It's like those intrusive thoughts like that. It's an interesting.
What is it called?
Call of the void.
Call of the void. Is there a phenomenon where like it's just a thought though? Like, is there a thing that like, oh, people just.
Yeah, it's totally, it's healthy to have just a passing like, oh, I could jump off that. I guess I won't say it's healthy. I'll say it's totally normal.
Totally normal. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
It's our survival that keeps us from doing that, right? Survival instincts. Have you ever had one of those experiences, like specifically that you can think of, besides driving any given day and just being like, oh, let me just, if I swerve into the next lane, like besides that, you know, like.
It's very normal.
I remember I was dating this one girl and she's like, oh, let's go, like, we were at a parking garage, like we just parked the car. She's like, oh, let's go sit on the side of the parking garage, like six stories up. And I'm like, okay, like this will be fun. I have a incredible fear of heights. Like this is. So just dangling my legs off.
Some would say a paralyzing fear.
I'm getting heart palpitations right now just talking.
I can see you're starting to sweat.
Oh my goodness, I am a little bit. And like I'm it's nighttime and like we're just talking and I can't concentrate on a thing that she's saying. Because the whole time I'm thinking like, oh, you know how only like my calf, everything below my knee, that's the only thing that's dangling off. Oh, but if I like raise my legs up like 10 degrees, then I slide right off and right off and into the sidewalk. So Yeah, that's I'm getting anxiety just thinking of it. But yeah, that's a call of void, right? Call to void? Call of the void? So, in Descent, there's a scene where...
Although, that's interesting. Because if you want somebody to like you, she might have been taking a psych class. If you want somebody to like you, it's good to do some type of risky behavior in the sense of like, or something that will get your adrenaline going, right? Because say she wants you to sit on the ledge with her. Oftentimes you might misattribute your arousal and use it in the physiological sense, like increase heart rate, like your pupils are dilated. Like you might misattribute that to like, oh, it's because I'm with this person. Like she went way above and beyond. Like she should have taken you like across the, I don't know what she should have done with you. Like
a rope bridge? Got a coffee?
I was going to say across a footbridge or something.
A high stool? Like an elevated stool?
Like walking with someone across a footbridge.
Yeah,
footbridge. You're like, oh, walking with them. Like, oh, why am I feeling this way? And they're like, oh, maybe it's because I really like the person I'm with.
So do men and
it's
women...
It's a good first date.
It's a good first date. So do men and women feel that the same? Like, should I have felt more like
amorous towards her?
Yes. Yeah. Or would it just be for women towards men, men towards
both?
Okay,
ways, both ways.
Okay. Okay. I don't remember being any more.
Man, she was digging you.
No, she wasn't after that. After she found out I was scared, that was a complete turn off. You talk about like sense of danger.
Originally.
yeah, she could have been the one. No, I'm just kidding. As I'm married now. No, it's that's funny to think that how many times wasn't that one of your things, like while you took a girl on a first date? Isn't that your secret, Mike? You take a girl on a first date, you always lead her to someplace scary or something scary so that she's instantly attracted.
That's so terrible.
Mike had the same thing. He'd always take them skydiving on the first date. He'd always have a tarantula in the car. He would always have me dress as a mugger, like on the first dates. It was really crazy, and they never left him or cheated on him.
It's a well studied phenomenon, John.
So I'm watching Descent.
So I mean, for a listener, like if you wanted to take somebody and you wanted them to like you, go to a haunted house or go to a haunted hayride or go do something like that. I guess is how it's applicable to an actionable tip.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you, everyone, for talking things that scare us about the Bills. Hopefully we didn't scare you too much, at least with the Bills. Like, we don't know for sure if what'll happen or if anything's true. Like, they're just things that could happen. So sometimes those are the most scary things, the things that could happen as opposed to the things that do happen. So thank you guys so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Happy Halloween to everyone out there. Enjoy your trick-or-treating safely and socially distant, and we'll talk to you guys again after the Bills-Pats game.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, mate.